Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto.
Howdy.
Hi, friend.
How you doing, friend?
You know, it's been an interesting week. I think there's just been so much content. I feel a little overwhelmed. I'm feeling FOMO because I'm not at BravoCon. Just so many feelings that I kind of feel like this week is an eclipse hangover. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean because I feel like I've been blacked out for the past week or so. I don't remember anything. Like, I was watching Beverly Hills, also can totally relate to the content overload or overwhelm because I'm feeling that way. But I couldn't even remember. I was like, I know that Beverly Hills already started, but what the fuck happened in episode one? Like, I feel like I've just completely blacked out and erased everything from the past week. But anywho,
yeah, people who are listening, you know, obviously post eclipses, it's not like an eclipse happens and bam, energy stops. It does take a little bit to settle. And this is an interesting week because we're also headed this weekend into Saturn, the planet of karma, responsibilities, clarity. That's turning direct too. So every time a planet stations, whether it's moving retrograde or moving forward, it is going to be pretty impactful. And I feel like we definitely saw the impact of these energies, dust settling and clarity moving forward this week. And of course, you know, we cannot not talk about that Vanity Fair article that came out.
Oh my God. I don't even know. I wanted to say I got halfway through, but I'm not really sure where it ended. I just kept reading and reading until my phone died and then I never got back to it. But really interesting the way it was written because so many people aren't really coming forward. Also, we get a lot of insight, whether it's truth or not, because a lot of that still seems quite ambiguous as to like how producers engage with the talent. And the reason I say it's still ambiguous is because the housewives themselves are contradicting each other on, you know, whether that's something that producers do or not. Although I think it is important to say that different cities are managed by different production companies. So what makes place in one city isn't necessarily how a production runs another city. But yeah, just like lots of interesting information coming out through that.
Yeah, I was confused, to be quite honest. I was confused by the whole article. And to your point, it was long. There were multiple perspectives. You don't really. And I think that's my biggest problem with it. I don't think anything was particularly a surprise. I think we've heard all of this. So I think the general consensus was, oh, like, you're not showing us anything we don't already know, except for the fact that Ramona is still pretty racist and she is going to double down on it. And we'll get to her in a second because, you know, obviously she got disinvited from BravoCon and all that good stuff. But I was so surprised that Leah was kind of one of the faces of it as it relates to the alcohol tranche, I would say. There were like three different tranches in this article.
I'm not surprised because Leah's kind of one of those people who, first of all, I think she's already like decided that she doesn't want to be involved in this world anymore. So she feels comfortable speaking out against it. Also, clearly she had a very interesting story with her addiction and it's like it as it relates to the show. Not that anyone pressured her to drink from the production side, but just that she was so overwhelmed that she relapsed before even getting back onto the show. But what I do think is interesting about that is, I mean, you mentioned that Saturn is about to station direct. It's going to station direct at 0 degrees Pisces. And we've talked about, you know, both 0 degrees being a critical degree, kind of like the nascent version of a sign. And we also have harped on about how Pisces is so related to substances, specifically alcohol, but also hard drugs. And so to have this kind of reckoning around how the production companies are dealing with alcohol, or even how the show's just dealing with it in general. Like, just being reminded that both Heather and Marisol on Ultimate Girls Trip said really fucked up things to Leah about, I wish you were drinking, or you're more fun when you're drinking. These are important conversations that need to be had. And I think that that's part of that Saturn going direct in Pisces. Like, what is acceptable? What are we not going to brush under the rug anymore? Just like you can't flippantly say something about someone's race or how they look. If we're speaking to Teddy Mellencamp on Watch What Happens Live, saying that she doesn't mm-hmm. want to comment on Erica's weight and how we shouldn't be talking about women's bodies like this. Like, all of these things are kind of coming to the surface. And now it's also, alcohol is not something that's just fun and light. It can have a very dark side, and it's not meant for everyone to be utilizing in the same way. So yeah, a lot of mm-hmm. like important things coming up that definitely speak to the as above, so below that we hear so often.
Yeah, I think the issue with the Leah situation, and of course, like, it's incredibly brave to come out and share and talk about all these sort of darker sides, but I think where I struggle with is how ultimately it's that bit about Leah talking about her relationship with alcohol and the relapse before the shows. Okay, so it's how much of this will fall under Bravo purview versus your role in facilitating as well. And I'm only highlighting that because Leah is also going through her Mars return. And as we said on the show before, you know, it's a 2-year cycle of self-assertion. She has her Mars in Scorpio, just FYI for folks. And you know, so much about Scorpio is, again, having the courage to actually understand the role you play in your own victim narrative. And it is Scorpio season. It is truth season. It is so much of all these things. And for Leah, this Scorpio energy is in her second house of self-worth, of finances, and the idea with Mars, there's separation, there's severing, there's assertion, there's a whole lot of real goodness there. But, you know, this year we also have a Sun Mars conjunction, which is a pretty rare conjunction in Scorpio. So the ego, the body, you know, what you're trying to ascend into, meeting sort of your assertion, I don't necessarily know if it's playing out the way she thinks it's playing out, but I think she feels pretty good about herself coming into a more authoritative power, especially being a Libra rising, you know, with the South Node going through that first house. She's not going to be shy about talking about stuff at the very least.
I agree with you on the fact that, like, this isn't necessarily one of those things that falls under Bravo, right? But it is kind of just related to the whole environment of things. And then, you know, more so what she was saying when she was going through that breakdown in Thailand and how she wasn't being supported. Honestly, I go a lot of back and forth on Leah. It's hard, right? Because even when we think about her grandma, that situation with her grandma, we don't know what's real. What were mm-hmm. you being told? And then that comment that Heather Gay said of, I would feel like I couldn't leave. Like, what's making you think that, though? That's your perception. It's like there was no real, like, solid backing up of the producers weren't supporting you on that journey. So again, just like a lot of ambiguity, which again, like, yeah, these, you know, rules Neptune, like, there's this deception involved. It's not necessarily going to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you talk about the Saturn at 0 degrees. It actually is opposing Leah's Virgo sun. So you have this reality check. You have these boundaries meeting her self coming through. And Saturn can be, you know, a maturation. It can also be a restriction. And so you kind of see a little bit of, I think, backlash, or not as much backlash as they might have anticipated with this article. Like, it was bombastic, but not internet breaking the way I think people intended it to be. I want to say, though, maybe this is my personal opinion, I think this Leah component of the article actually dilutes the importance of other pieces talked about in the article, specifically the racism component, which we talked about Ramona. Ramona's got her fingerprints all over this. I mean, not surprising. Of course, we've talked about this. People have made excuses for Ramona over time. You know, admittedly, myself included, like, oh, Ramona's very entertaining, but also being very conscious of the fact that there is so much, there are these problematic components to her personality, right? She is an eclipse baby. She is a full moon baby. She carries that energy with her. And to your point, you know, we just came out of an eclipse cycle in Taurus and Scorpio where her nodes are. So there is a lot of reckoning or dust settling from that 2-year horizon, basically.
Yeah, I do love that, like, all this is happening on, like, her eclipse birthday anniversary, basically. And here is reckoning. Yeah, just really interesting. And I feel like Leah became so much of the story because so many people didn't want to come forward. And I agree with you that when it got to the Ramona racial aspect, and we have concrete things from Ebony, who experienced it firsthand, also a producer that was hired specifically because Ebony was now on the cast, and like all these things that they firsthand experienced from having to interact with Ramona. Yeah, that was really interesting. I agree that, like, not much was said, but that was kind of a section that said so much and shouldn't have been buried in the middle when that was really the most important part of the article. I mean, to be fair, I didn't finish the article, so something else might have come after that. But it's like, I wouldn't say I've made allowances or whatever for Ramona in the past, but I also don't know that I agree with silencing people who say things incorrectly, because I think that by putting her on this platform in the way that she was, that Ebony was trying to hold her accountable during that season, is important for other Ramonas out there to see that you might feel the same way. And this is why it's not appropriate. And that's why I don't feel okay with just like canceling people, because no one learns when you just shut someone off. No one learns what it is that they're doing wrong. These were behaviors that she was taught through the society that she grew up in, and she's not the only one. And it also has not ended with that generation, as a lot of people think. These like internal biases and these systematic like oppressions are just baked in. And when we shut them off, when we don't hold them accountable by having reunions where they're called out and have to answer to these things, it's not fair to the collective, because what you're doing is keeping people from being able to grow and to expand and to understand why this is unacceptable. And that I totally blame Bravo for, because they didn't want the involvement that was going to come in with that from the back end aspect of what Ebony and what this producer and others on the crew were dealing with.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It's a very hard one, but I totally agree. And you know what? This is going to be what's really interesting, right? Because Ramona has a Taurus moon, and Uranus, you know, is currently going, basically like activating it in some capacity energetically. I don't know the exact degree of her moon, but it's pretty, you know, in the 20s, so pretty close enough. Shock, you know, just completely triggering your sense of self, like all these different things coming together right now. And, you know, obviously she got fired from her job at Douglas Elliman. It's funny because she has a Taurus moon, so like real estate is like what I think about with an earth sign, and like that comfort and that security. And the thing is, ultimately, for a lot of people, the hard lesson isn't in the cancel. It's if you lose your livelihood or your job, when you realize there are real consequences to your words and actions. And so, this is a very Uranian moment for Ramona at the moment. And, you know, not saying, and also, by the way, that Saturn stationing direct, as you talked about, is opposing her Pluto at 0 degrees. You know, it's Saturn Pluto. It's a confrontation of your dark self. It's an actual unearthing and, you know, kind of making sure your structures are good. It's reality checks, like around your perception of what's happened, and the way things should be. So, you know, Ramona is getting activated for sure. But yeah, no presence at BravoCon this year. I wonder if Avery is still going to go. I heard Batch Boss has a booth at BravoCon, which would, I mean, that's just a lot to field, I feel like, on behalf of your mom in this capacity. So who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
I feel like this could also, what's happened to me, Ramona, like, be related to Pluto and Capricorn, that like last hit of Pluto and Capricorn and like those institutions of what was acceptable and what will be swept under the rug kind of being like thrown out the window for this more Aquarian, like, no, we need to resolve these social issues and like move forward to a new way. So I'm like thrilled, honestly, that Ramona got fired, because as you said, like that's what's going to possibly change something. Although it's kind of unfortunate that now she has no platform. It won't be seen by others who need to see that transformation, if there is one. I don't know.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Ramona has Mercury conjunct her sign. Like, she's a messenger. It will get broadcast in whatever capacity. We will find out. We will figure it out. And, you know, it's so part of her chart. And to your point, that Pluto in Capricorn is actually sextiling her sun and Mercury. So the idea of thoughts changing, self changing, hopeful. That's my SAG moon talking. I can't speak for actual facts, but I'm hopeful this is a big lesson and inflection point for her. But, you know, moving on to more pleasant news coming out of the eclipse and the Saturn station, Dr. Nicole Martin, congratulations. Absolutely love your announcement. Like, what a great reel. Oh my God. Like, so saggy, you know, just so good with the, let me have this performative flair, make it big. Congratulations. Super stoked.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite wedding or like pregnancy announcements I've ever seen. Although I was like really thinking that she was going to like reveal a bump when the paper got moved out of the way, but maybe that would have made that better.
That would be too funny. But also, you know, Saturn again has its fingerprints all over this. You know, this Saturn stationing is opposing her natal Mercury in Virgo. And my favorite symbolism of this is Mercury represents the children. Saturn is like a formalization structure, and it's coming from her fourth house of home and family. And so there is really an establishment, a structural establishment. And with her Mercury in that 10th house, you know, a formal announcement like of this caliber makes so much sense.
Also, the moon is currently in Cancer, the sign of the mother, in her 8th house, transiting through her 8th house of like merged entities, merging like her and Anthony together to create this child.
Yeah,
really cute symbolism. Also, like North Node in her 5th, of course. Creation, childhood, things like
that. Totally. And you know, I think that having this other child is gonna be quite healing for her, because she does have her Chiron in Gemini, we spoke about. It's a lot of, and I think in a previous episode when Miami was on last season, we talked about Nicole and her accident as a child, and that can be, you know, attributed to her Chiron in Gemini as well. The symbolism is quite strong there. But the Saturn activation right now that's happening is also squaring her nodal axis, you know, a south node in Sag in her first house, north node in her 7th house. So hopefully this is working towards more balanced labor. There is more type of healing. It's not, she has to maybe feel like she's taking care of everything. Like, this can help even the load a little bit, at least cursorily looking at the situation. She also has Jupiter right now opposing her natal Saturn, Jupiter in Taurus, so the idea of materializing and resources. You know, Jupiter in Taurus is also very relationship oriented, and in Saturn in Scorpio, you know, she's kind of, it's allowing herself to have faith in her emotional capabilities and how she can, you know, ultimately like step into this mother role. She already has a child, of course, but to really, really, you know, let go of maybe some older childhood wounds that might have come up.
She also has Uranus transiting through her sixth house, and Uranus is a very slow moving planet. So it's not like this is going to be sudden changes, but it's going to be like a shakeup to her day to day, her routine, what's going on. Like maybe things switch, you know, with the second child. Only time will tell.
Well, you know, it's funny because we've heard her on the show, like she does a lot, right? She multitasks, she balances. It's the Virgo Sag energy combo. Like I can do everything and anything all at once. And sometimes it's just really not sustainable, you know? And so in some sense, maybe this kid does introduce more balance in whatever way possible, whether again, that's like having Anthony step up in a different way. But I like this a lot and I think it's amazing. So again, I love happy news. Also, I think I saw another pregnancy announcement. Jasmine Cooper from Summer House Martha's Vineyard also announced that she's having a child and it's coming Feb 2024. So congratulations to her. I don't know her chart. I don't think we have confirmation on her moon, but very exciting. Love all this sort of, all this announcement energy, all this clarity. Again, this, you know, you should start to see things clear up this week. And I do wonder if both were trying, you know, over the course of the Saturn retrograde between June and now. And then now there's sort of like a moment of fruition. But congratulations to everyone. Celebrate joy. Yay. What did you think of the Miami season premiere though? Like first takes, not going to go in depth this week.
I thought it was like a little all over the place. And I think it's just because they're trying to set the stage. But
yeah,
felt like I was being pulled in a million directions. It felt like a bunch of episodes in one. But like it's a good foundation for a season moving forward. It looks like there's going to be a lot of fun times and arguments. Like, what more can we ask for?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The show is, I totally agree, by the way. I couldn't necessarily sink my teeth into it, and I felt like it was a little scattered, but still very enjoyable, still very vibrant. But the show is what, the sixth season. If I think about this as a perfection year, it's like, you know, the seventh house, right? And I found it really funny that this premiere involved partnership, so much about partnership. We see Marcus finally pop up, we see Jody, Lisa's new boo, pop up. Everyone, and then of course we have this whole thing about Todd and apologizing to Anthony. Like it felt very other centric across the board. And granted, yes, you know, there were reconciliation conversations between Adriana and Alexia and, you know, Marisol and herself to figure it out. But yeah, a very partner oriented debut or season premiere.
What we said last week about how with Beverly Hills, like we've heard all about Kyle and Mo and now we're watching it play out. It's the same with Garrity and her cancer journey. And it's really interesting that we're going to be on that whole experience with her. And like, thinking we're now on the other side of that, you know, or like as much as you can be in such a short amount of time, you know, there's remission and things like that. But, you know, as someone whose mother had breast cancer, I think it's like important to have all of this shown and to see different journeys because they don't all look the same.
I agree. I mean, it's so wild, right, to think we just had last season with Martina's cancer scare and now we have Gertie's cancer scare. I'm just really happy that both women, you know, have come out on the other side, and of course hoping that the cancer is kept at bay. But yes, you know, I think that because of all the content this week, you know, we'll definitely be focusing on Miami next week as maybe more plots starting to transpire, especially since, you know, I do want to talk about Beverly Hills this week. I like the start of the season. I know you might not have remembered what happened last week in the episode, but I thought it was a really great start. And I think the second episode was also amazing. And the one thing that I not necessarily regret not talking about last week was about Sutton, that crazy spousal support, like $300,000 a month. Like, oh my freaking God, that's like, get it, girl, go to the bank, like, take him, take it all.
$300,000 or $30,000?
$300,000 a month.
What?
Yeah, it was like highlighted. Like they like, I think they like took that part of the agreement and like literally emphasized and highlighted it. So Sutton is wealthy AF. And I just want to say, knowing all this about her and then seeing how hard she's come onto Erica is also over the last year is really interesting. So much about this is not your money. This, like, when do you know where your money comes from? And I think we really see the PTSD from that marriage come through this week, especially when she talked about how she felt like she lost her power, how she was always kept out of the boardroom around money decisions. It's not surprising to me in the slightest that Sutton actually has Jupiter and Venus conjunct in Scorpio in her 12th house. So with Jupiter and Venus conjunct in Scorpio in that 12th house, you know, you do see all these elements, right? Jupiter and Venus conjunct can indicate a lot of wealth. Jupiter is an expander, expansioner. That's not a word, but we're going to go with it. It creates more, you know, and then in Venus, relationships, money, and then Scorpio, secretive, in the dark, private, in the 12th house where it is so hidden and kept from you. So the symbolism really jumps out. And, you know, energetically, it's not an exact opposition, but she does have Saturn in Taurus. So the resources and being able to understand your resources and not be controlled by the resources by someone else is really important karmically for Sutton in her chart.
And that Saturn is in opposition to Neptune. So maybe kind of this like delusion or deception around those finances. Like, again, what you were saying about how hard she was going down on Erica. And I think a lot of the times, like things in our chart, things that we don't like about others are things that we have in ourselves that we don't want to see. And especially when Neptune's involved, it like can keep us from seeing that we are that thing that we're calling out. So I do think that's interesting. She also has Chiron in Aries. So this whole thing about like needing to come into her own and to be her own provider, which is still funny that she's phrasing it that way because she still gets so much money from this man. And like, I need to show him that I've done this for myself, like, but with the money you get. So anyway, that's just like very interesting to me, but it is, I mean, with the Chiron in Aries, it's important for her to have that perception that she is creating these things for herself, this stability going to that Saturn for herself.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because her North Node is in that fourth house. So it is very much a meaningful, like, you got to come home to self. Like, you cannot necessarily rely on like status or like what other people perceive you to do, whether it's being controlled by other people with their resources, being adhering to expectations, things like that. So it is a very like, Sutton has to carve her own unique path. And I think for a lot of people, it's gonna maybe not be fully understood, or but she just kind of has to do her own thing. I think it's interesting you bring up the Chiron in Aries because that's in her fifth house of romance, and this week we hear her talk about her dating woes to the matchmaker, and I actually found this conversation really entertaining. And I was like, oh, your standards and your particularness. That's, she has Mars in Virgo and conjunct a retrograde Mercury in Virgo, so very, very particular, have your quirks. But because of her Jupiter and Venus conjunction in Scorpio, there is a kind of a low self-worth type of quality here, I think, too.
Also, it's interesting because her seventh house is in Gemini. Gemini is falling in her seventh house. So like this partner needs to be someone who kind of matches this playful energy. But what she's focused on is that he's tall, and that it's like she's focusing on these things that like aren't really of substance, which, I mean, the matchmaker was picking up on that, I'm sure. And then in her eighth house, it's falling in Cancer. So it's like family is something that's super important to her. And yeah, I'm curious to see where this journey takes Sutton, even just the way that she's talking about it. Like, my fingers got a callus from swiping left so many times. It's like, I don't know, as you said, like this self-worth, I think there's like, she hasn't fully faced things we talk about this all the time. Like, people talk about healing, but they think about it more than they actually take the steps to do it. And I don't think Sutton's really ready for a partner.
Interesting. Very interesting. Look, Sutton has Sun-Pluto conjunction, you know, in that 10th house. Like, in theory, right, this is a very powerful placement. It can be quite self-diminishing. It can be quite, Pluto can kind of swallow you up whole, especially in Virgo, where it's so much about shame and perfection and standards and excellence. And the details, you know, whether they can be particular or not, it's all about the details. And you find power in your details. But sometimes if you don't find your power, it's kind of like Aquarian energy. It's, you know, you have all this really great revolutionary sort of progressive, like mastermind type of energy. But if it's not actually getting used, it comes off as like, oh, I like this weird thing I like to do. And there's like all this sort of energy going into your quirks and your misfits and things that make you stand out that other people may not necessarily appreciate about you. So it kind of gets a little squandered the way she self-deprecates, as opposed to owning that, you know, I'm a multifaceted individual. I've got all these things behind me and I have these extra elements of my personality that I think make me quite interesting, as opposed to I'm operating at like a position of disempowerment when I go into my dating situation.
Yeah. Well, that Sun-Pluto conjunction is trining her Saturn. So it's also like speaking to a partner lording over you, really, like having that power over you and kind of dampening your light, your ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, I feel like she has work to do on that Chiron and Aries. And like, I think mentally she's ready. I just don't think emotionally she's taken the steps to meet up to where her mental has gotten her.
Well, good news for her is Saturn is going, you know, in Pisces right now and forming a station on her nodal axis. So it is very much a moment that she gets to kind of fight for her peace, step into this healing journey, but also because she is so mutable. You know, she has her Gemini moon, she has all her Virgo placement, she is a Sag rising. This Saturn in Pisces is going to be a really, 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 really big reality check, like hitting, coming from her foundations, from her personal myth. It's a big unlearning process. And also, you know, it's going to be squaring her moon in her house of partnership. How does she course correct and actually identify with an ego that suits her, not an old version of her? It's that Saturn's also scarring her ascendant, her personality, her style, and then opposing all her Virgo placements, like expectations around public relationship, mission, purpose, legacy. So Saturn's going to be playing a really, really big role. So, you know, if you're listening and you have like a very mutable big three, you know, expect a lot more crystallization, clarity, potentially some restrictions, some obstacles, but all intended to kind of mold you into the real, actual, authentic person you're supposed to be for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You said that and immediately my mind just like jumped to Dorit saying, I'm a professional designer and stylist.
Oh my God. I appreciate that we are seeing so much more of Dorit this season than we did last season. I mean, granted, she had her home invasion. I was so shocked to hear that she got rocked again, robbery wise. And you know what? Like, if I'm looking at the timeline for things, you know, that home invasion happened like December 2022 into 2020, like, and then she was battling or navigating this PTSD. And then this happens, you know, this is so her Venus and Pluto opposition right now. You know, she has her Venus in Cancer at a late degree in Cancer. And we've talked a lot on the show about Pluto and Capricorn and that, you know, Pluto and Venus coming together, like it can kind of bring up all these sort of dark shadow sides in your relationship, transforming your relationship, but also encountering sort of the baddies, if you will, i.e. these robbers, really, really, you know, figures that hide in the shadows, right? And again, her purse was gone without her even knowing. So, you know, to me, this was a very significant Pluto Venus activation for her.
It's wild. You just took $10,000 cash out of the bank. How do you let your purse out of your sight? Also, why are you taking that money with you on errands? Take that money home, put it into holiday envelopes, and give it to the respective people. Like, oh man. You know, yeah, like not that she deserved that, but also not really thinking things through.
It's hard. I mean, fuck, you know, I feel badly for her because she has her Chiron in Taurus, and like any kind of loss, any kind of material loss, whether that is actually just like finances or, you know, items, like the fact that this just straight up went missing and in her possession, like in her eighth house of, like, I mean, of other people, like resources, you know, it's just, God, it's going to be so fucking triggering.
Totally. Yeah. Also, like, Taurus is all about just like stability and comfort and like security in general. And like, yeah, we talk about materialistic aspects a lot, but it's like those Maslow's hierarchy of safety needs as well. So to after having someone break into your home where you're supposed to be safe, and then you're like out running errands and you're being followed by three men, like, I can totally see for anyone, but especially for Dorit, how this could be like super re-traumatizing. And then to not have your partner really be there to support you because you're the supporter in the dynamic and they don't know how to step up and take that role, must be really fucking hard, honestly.
Yeah. And you know, she has Mars in Virgo, okay, in her 12th house. So like, Mars in Virgo, you think about an empowered Mars in Virgo, it's so much about, I need things done this way. I need you to be in service of my needs. And she was talking about this on the episode this week, you know, where she is, I need you to be this type of person. I don't need the grand gestures. You know, grand gestures is not something I would equate with Virgo energy. It's so much about service. It's so much about like, let me cook your food. Let me clean up your apartment for you. Let me do these things that can make your life better as you continue to do what you're doing. And in this case, she was not heard. And so with Mars in Virgo in the 12th house, it is almost like a self-repression of that assertion of her standards, of her needs, and like what she expects from her partner. So very interesting episode, I think. Like the more you uncover about her dynamics with PK, the more her chart really does come to life.
Yeah, it's also funny that that placement is in her 12th house, because I wouldn't say it's a repressed tendency of hers. Like it's so much of her personality taking control. Mm. Things and that, like, I mean, everyone described her as a control freak in this episode. So it's like, and it oftentimes things
sure.
are things that others see about you that you don't necessarily see about yourself. So like maybe at this stage of her life, it's just been brought to her attention so many times that she can't ignore it. It could also, again, we don't know exact time, but it could be in opposition to her moon, which would make mm-hmm. it definitely a louder tendency to have.
Yeah, I mean that Mars moon opposition, I mean that seems home invasion, you know, to me, like you're something aggressive hitting your sense of security. And you know, again, this episode is very Saturn Pisces heavy. She has a moon, you know, potentially at an early degree in Pisces, right? So this Saturn stationing, this sort of maturation, emotional maturation that she's going through, where she can't be her own bystander in her life, she has to take on more, again, of this sort of North Node in Aries, which will activate that Mars in Virgo. It's not about control for the sake of other people, which is very Cancer. I think Cancers like to take control like that. And so I can totally see where everyone's coming in with that commentary. But the Mars in Virgo is more understanding of your needs and being able to then communicate what those needs specifically are. Versus I'm taking a position of authority and I'm going to control the situation to minimize damage. It's like a little more nuanced, at least for me when I'm reading it. But I think Dorit embodies both, right? That control in person, I'm very controlled, but in her relationships, maybe it's a little more hidden because she's hidden to herself because she's trying to control herself even in the relationship.
Yeah, which I was thinking during this whole thing and her freaking out about this like surprise that she kept being assured everything was taken care of, everything's fine. And then like she's relaxed into it, but then starts criticizing PK about like, well, you know, like I don't like not being able to dress myself. And it made me think, okay, here is my dream ultimate girls trip. Take the girls who refuse to go out without glam. So like Dorit, Lisa Barlow, Marlo, even maybe Alexia, Diana. Remember Diana had to have people like her. Take all those people, put them into like the Amazon or the Outback or like, the alone experience, but they don't need to be alone, but like no glam, no showers. Like I want to see how feral these women get in this instance. Like, do they start using mud as bronzer? Like, where's this gonna lead? I need to know.
I fucking love that. That, I mean, I love Survivor, as you know, so please, I will always be a huge fan. So yes, Bravo, if anyone's listening from Bravo, we would really love to pitch this girls trip.
Not that any of those women would agree with to that, but like maybe with a
for the right amount of money, you know, because there's always a price. Marlo is still capped too, right? Like I think I remember her having pretty earthy placements as well. And like even in her dating life, it's like he needs this, he needs his credit score, he needs this, being able to support and provide. So you know, for the right price, never say never. But you know, you brought up Lisa. John was so sweet this week. Oh my god, on the episode.
Such dad vibes. Like I don't get husband vibes from him necessarily, but as a dad, like, oh, I love it. I just love sons, and like it was just warming my heart. I really loved it.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what John is. I find this whole mission situation very funny, because at any given moment Lisa is perpetually going to keep the joke up that she was the last to find out, right? Like it's always like, who in this room, raise a hand if you found out before me, and like no one knows when he told you, maybe. So like it's just such a funny question to me. It's a very Mercury sag, like sun sag type of question. It's very egocentric in some way, but also very funny. It's quite saggy overall, I think.
I see that, but I also think she's just trying to cover the hurt because he did tell
for sure
and didn't tell
for sure.
And also, sure. I'm kind of surprised that they announced where he was going. I don't know. I just thought like a few episodes back, I thought he already knew, and I was like, oh, it makes sense that they're not saying where, for like the safety of him and like what his mission partners were. And it had nothing to do with Colombia. Even if he was in France, I would feel that same way. Like you're someone on the stage. Look at Dorit. Look at all these people who have been targeted because they're known to have money and like XYZ. So like put him in any random part of the world with his purple shoes and his like, he's going to have items of money. And then she jokingly was saying, oh, my friend's son was in Colombia and he just carried money and would give it to people. Like, and it's just like, oh my God, I was just really surprised from a safety standpoint.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I feel like, you know, Lisa has that Jupiter in Pisces squaring her SAG placement. So maybe there is this faith of like, there's like an innocence and naivete, you know what I mean? And being able to square the two, since they are in a square, is quite fascinating. Of course, again, Saturn is going to be squaring all her SAG placements. So her Mars in SAG, Mercury in SAG, Neptune in SAG, Sun in SAG, as it makes its 2.5 year journey through Pisces. So definitely a growth moment for Lisa coming up. I do find it fascinating. Again, we talked about Mercury as symbolic of children potentially, and this Mercury in SAG. And of course, here we have Jack going abroad. SAG is the sign of long distance travel. We don't know what rising sign Lisa has, so we can't tell where exactly that's playing out. But I think the symbolism lifts off what we have.
Yeah, it's also like interesting that she's so SAG heavy, and yet. Mm-hmm. Not that she is keeping her son from having these saggy experiences, but it's like kind of at the same time. Maybe it's that Saturn in Cancer where like she just wants to have control over the family and just like keep everyone close and close to home, close to her. But yeah, like she's so Sagittarian, religion, travel, expanding your mind, expanding your experiences, it kind of just comes hand in hand. And so maybe it does go back to the fact that she just wasn't involved in the decision and she's feeling pushed out, which like for a mom, but also someone with Saturn in Cancer, like that would be very difficult for. And with mm-hmm. a moon, again, a very controlling position, someone who wants to like take the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Lisa. I think she's like a funny addition on, not addition, she's an OG on Salt Lake City. But I do appreciate seeing more of this side, the Lisa mom side, where it's not just Lisa picking up her kids, going to get fast food, which again, very SAG, very funny. But now with the humor, you still get some depth, right? You start to see what's really hitting her at her core. And to your point, Saturn Cancer, so much around family boundaries, how your family makes you feel safe, but ultimately like how you feel safe in those relationships. And right now she doesn't feel safe in this relationship, and so she's turning this megaphone externally to cope. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And, you know, like good point about seeing a new side of Lisa. And I think we're seeing a new side of a bunch of housewives like Erica. We're going to see a completely new side of her. Even Sutton, we're seeing more of her. And like, yes, you could say that it's just what the producers are choosing to edit in and show. And I think that is, of course, part of it. But at the same time, the longer these people are put in this position, the more comfortable they get with their life being exposed or just wanting to control the narrative that's going out about them, the more that we see. And I think like, that's why, you know, to bring it to New York, I am excited to see some of these characters evolve. Specifically, like, I'd love to see where Brynn is in 2 to 3 years, not because I'm so invested in Brynn, but because I think there's a lot of depth there that she, as someone in PR or marketing, knows to cover and reveals the parts of herself that she wants to be seen. This flirtatious jokester who's like not taking anything too seriously except for her family, which you can't hide something like that when you've lost someone so recently to you. But yeah, I'm excited to see a bunch of people, but I was thinking about this the other day at the reunion, and like specifically I want to see a truer version of Brynn.
Yeah, that would be much appreciated. It's interesting, right? She has Venus, Mercury, Sun, Jupiter, all conjuncting Aquarius, potentially an Aquarius moon. She's like VV Aquarius, you know, and potentially it could be in her 11th house, a very Aquarian house. And, you know, when she was like, I got 1,000 friends, I'm like, yeah, that's so Aquarian. But also this idea, it touches on this idea you were talking about, right? Like, we don't necessarily actually maybe know the real Brynn, because it's covered. There's a veneer that's being put on display. And it's a very Aquarian thing I see too. You know, there are two sides to Aquarius. Okay. One can kind of lead you into the more rebellious, more out there, more, you know, you don't look like everyone else in your community. And you can see the impact of Saturn on your Aquarius, where it's like fall in line and meet consensus, you know? And I think you kind of see her straddling both a little bit, where she, you know, had talked about how now she like maybe identifies as Black when people ask her, like, what do you identify as? And she's come so far to get to this point. But again, Aquarius, I think of mastermind, I think of master strategist. And, you know, energetically speaking, her Chiron is in Gemini. So from an air sign perspective, right, elementally, that flows into all those Aquarius placements, a lot of fear running through those placements. Nothing a joke can't solve or put a Band-Aid over, but it does feel like there is a little bit of a disconnect. There's a little, like, there's still arm or room in the relationship to develop between us, the viewer, and Brynn, the housewife.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I have much to say on her, but we'll save that for next season, and I'll just hope that she comes back. But who are your MVPs and LVPs of Roni Reboot?
Oh my gosh. So MVP, I will say, is, I mean, I kind of want to say Jessel, but I love Jessel, but I love Jenna. And I think Jenna really had a great first season as a housewife, especially because it was so unexpected, so out of left field. She was so perfectly vulnerable. She handled, like, she gave us housewife too, right? Like, I'm going to fly first class. And like, she gave us these moments. Her apartment was so sick. Like, everything I wanted from the housewife, I got. And even when people were trying to come at her, she was so good and very adept at just like, okay, well, I'm articulating my position. You do not have to be upset about that. Or like, you know, she just is so, she's so great. I love her. I don't know if she's coming back. So that's why I'm going to give her an MVP, because in case I don't get to give her this MVP moving forward anymore. My LVP, you know, what's actually really interesting. I was potentially going to give it to Sai. And then the reunion kind of changed my mind a little bit, the second part, because I appreciated her acknowledging her not going to therapy, her not handling her yelling. So the self-awareness that she has started to maybe take on as a result of watching the show, I'm like, oh, okay, like there is a redeeming quality here. So you're not my like total like LVP. I actually kind of think it's Uba a little bit for me. I love Uba and I love the energy she brings, but I just don't feel like it's very connected. I don't know. It just doesn't feel, I don't know. It just feels a little disjointed to me. And it's more like that intuitive feeling versus like an actual concrete. I mean, the biggest fight she had was over the phone, and I understand that's really important, but I don't know if it was edited out or whatever, like, then communicate it. I don't know. Like, hey, whoever took my phone, not funny. I had to talk to my parents, something. And I think like that could have been resolved instead of just like kind of, so again, not saying she's a terrible person. I actually like her personality a lot. I just am confused about it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I love both of those. And I would even agree with both of those, but for fun, I'll give different ones. So my MVP, and this is shocking to me because I remember saying at the beginning that I didn't think I was going to like her. My MVP is Brynn, because is lighthearted, fun, openly a shitster, brought in lots of different personal aspects, whether it was with Mimi or her previous fiancés, and like, even like went more into that and give us more about that in the reunion. So yeah, like Brynn was my MVP, and I'm excited to see more from her. My LVP, I totally agree with you about Uba, feeling disjointed, but I also love her energy. So I'm going to go ahead and give LVP to Sai, because she was fucking really cranky a lot of the time and dismissive, and like great to see that play back. And then I do like how she handled herself for the most part in the reunion, but she's just kind of a grumpy puss for me. And I prefer a lighter energy to someone who's grumpy all the time.
You're not you when you're hungry. You know, Snickers made a shit ton of money off that marketing, and it's very, very factual. I was very touched at her expression of guilt and how to wrap your head around having so much wealth and money, resources that you thought was going to be the main thing that could solve every problem for you growing up, ultimately not being able to solve this big gaping relationship in your life, right? So I found that very poignant, and I appreciate even the conversation around it. I think especially because of Sai, with all her Libra placements, you know, like that is not easy to bring up, like shattering beneath the surface. And so I do think that as this south node in Libra moves through her Libra placement, she's going to come into more honesty, more openness. And I think this is only the beginning. So again, as I started off, you know, the beginning of the show, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful for a lot of behavior changes. I'm hopeful for a lot of authenticity. And I'm hopeful that we all come out a better community overall by the end of these nodes in Libra Aries. But yeah, you know, wanted to end this on a positive note because there's just been too much recently, too fucking much.
Well, we have a lot of fun to look forward to with so many shows kind of kicking off.
Definitely follow us at the Cosmic Clubhouse on Instagram so you don't miss a Bravo Pop Culture astrology update.
And make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any bonus content that we may drop along the way.
Have fun at BravoCon, all who's going, very jealous, and we'll be here next week.